This is an odd Sunday for me. I've already preached twice today. And so it's out of the ordinary. So if I do or say strange things, it's not me. It's just a weird circumstance. I warned the other people and over in Rensselaer this morning, I am very sarcastic, so that will come out. And just enjoy it for what it is. The smell, the aroma, and take it all in. Just relax for me, if you would. Take a deep breath, cleansing breath. If we need to do yoga, because that's the big thing now. There's the emergent church is the big deal now. And that's what they do. That's what their services are. When the pastor is up here, he's leading yoga. And while he's leading the yoga, you're laughing. It is very true. It's very true. He's leading yoga, and he's giving spiritual thoughts. I guess they're spiritual. There's some spirit involved. I know that for sure. But he's giving those thoughts to them while they're doing their yoga. I was raised that that's something different entirely, and men doing yoga. Anyways, how we're changing. So I still enjoy church. I enjoy the preaching of the Word of God. And if Luke ever decides to start doing yoga, you guys need to deal with him about that. Brent's warned me that he does like such things, so just watch out for that kind of stuff, if you would. Ephesians chapter 5, let's go to verse number 1. It says, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. But fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints, neither filthiness nor foolish talking nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger nor unclean person nor covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no man deceive you with vain words, for because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God." I'd like to preach to you this morning, be ye followers of God, be ye followers of God. Father, we do thank you for your book. We're thankful that we get to hold it and we get to read it. And Father, we're thankful that it speaks to us. And God, we thank you for these people being here this morning, and they've been working very hard, and God, doing much for you. And God, I pray that they would see some fruit, God, for their labors of all the work that they've put in these past couple months. And God, I pray that you'd bless them this morning. May their hearts and their minds be open to what the Holy Spirit of God would have them to hear, and what you would have them to do with what they hear. God, I pray that you just bless this church and this pastor. God, give him many years to come. We do ask you. Now, Holy Spirit, we ask you to meet with us. It's vain for us to meet together if you're not here. God, it's just a waste of time. We'd be better off doing yoga. And so we ask you to be here and speak to us. We do ask you in Jesus' name. Amen. We are not going to do yoga, but it would be better. Be ye followers of God. He begins the passage here, be therefore followers of God as dear children. Paul uses the term children over and over. John uses the term children in 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John. So if I'm supposed to follow Jesus Christ as a child, I have to understand how a child thinks. Now a child thinks, we would often say a child thinks more simplistically than we do. But that just says you haven't had kids. Because children are not simplistic. My oldest boy is very detailed in everything that he does. He's very detailed in everything that we are planning to do. And he has to know the plan. When he gets to put him to bed at night, he has to know. So what we're doing tomorrow is I'm going to school, and so then I'm going to get up and get dressed, and we're going to eat, and I'm going to get on the bus, and then we're going to get home. Now, what are we going to do when we get home? And if I don't have that plan, then that leaves him in very much, there's a lot of turmoil there. Because he has to know. So when I look at this passage and I think that, I think, if I'm going to follow God as a child, and I use my son as that example, that's pretty detailed. You and I are the ones who aren't detailed, which is why this is used. Because you and I have it figured out. Well, we know God's plan after all, right? That's sarcasm. We think we know God's plan. After all, I was raised in church, therefore, I know. Well, that's sarcasm as well. Kids ask questions such like, you know, what does Santa smell like? Or was everything in black and white in the olden days? Kids ask that. Kids ask Noah, age 5, asked, how old will Jesus turn this year? Will he have candles on his cake? Will we be invited to his party? That's kids. Thomas asks, age 4, where does the light go when you turn it off? That's a question you would never ask nor think about. That is the question my son would ask me. What happens with that? And you're sitting there going, I don't even have an answer for that. I got nothing. A swimming teacher wrote this down. She said one of her students, he said her favorite question she's ever been asked is, when do we learn how to breathe underwater? See, you know that's not possible, so that's a dumb question. But to them, hey, that's what it's all about. I mean, this surface stuff is great, but down there is where the action's at. We need to get down there. Someone wrote this down. They said, when my grandmother told our family that she was getting married again 10 years after her husband had died, my cousin, who was about 5, asked her why. She said that she really liked our grandpa to be, and he talked to her and made her not feel lonely. My cousin then asked, why don't you just get a parrot? Only from the mouth and the mind of a child. So Paul admonishes us, you need to be followers of God, but you need to do it as a child. See, because a child is always interested in the next thing that you're doing. A child is excited about the next place that you're going to go. And children are as excited about it as you're as excited about it. If you talk things down, mom and dad, you're going to depress your kids about something maybe they could do for God. If you're down on church and you're down on the pastor, you're going to affect their thinking when it comes to church and their pastor. So if I'm going to follow as a child, I have to think like one, which is not a bad thing. Because we get stuck in our own minds and in our own hearts, and we feel like we have it figured out, and God in heaven is sitting there going, you don't even know what you're doing yet. Not to even say that you have it figured out. Which is a detriment. This is a weird statement, but it is a detriment to someone raised in church sometimes because we feel like we have it figured out. This, you have to understand, I'm weird like Brother Hoffman's kids. This is all I've ever known. We share the same weirdness. I don't know anything else. It's Sunday. What do? It's not even a question. I get up and get dressed and stand there and go, how'd this happen? I'm just in a suit and we're going to church. There's no question there. There's no discussion. On Saturday, my wife and I don't sit down and go, well, you know, Sunday, you know, if we could, no. Sunday you go to church. That's what you do. But you have to be the one that decides to do that. So if I'm going to follow God, I have to do it as a child would do it. If I'm going to follow him, Paul gives us in here several ways to walk in this passage. After all, if I'm following God, I have to be walking. There has to be movement. I can't say that I'm following you if you're going that way and I'm sitting over here. That's not following. That's watching, which we're very good at. We're good at watching God do things, and then we like to take the credit for it. Like the things that are mentioned for you to pray about, and you forgot to pray about them all week, and then someone comes in and there's a great answer to prayer, and you're like, hey, amen, and you didn't have nothing to do with it. You didn't pray once. Why? Because we're very good at watching. We're very terrible at following. Because following requires that action. It's those feet moving. The first way he tells us to walk is in verse 2. He says, and walk in love, which is difficult in human nature to do. Because walking in love means I have to care and show care for those that I'm walking with, which means that I have to put myself out of the way, which is humility, which goes against human nature as a whole. Because after all, my life is all, and your life, whether you know it or not, is all about me. See, you weren't even aware of that, were you? The only time that you're reminded of that is when you drive. And people act like they are the only people that are in a car on the road. And how dare you didn't get the memo that I was driving today? And you pulled out in front of me? How dare you put yourself in that place? Perfect example. He's not the talk show host. He's one of the editors of a decent newspaper in our town. And he was doing a radio talk show, and I was listening the other day, and he said he was walking in the mall. And he was going past this young man and walking behind him, and he said his shoe was untied. And so he was watching him almost trip and fall. And so as he passed him, I said, hey, your shoe's untied. Don't trip and fall. So he said he goes down to the end of the hall and comes back around in the mall. And as he's coming back, the kid flips him off. And he said, I'm blown away. And then he said, I'm even more blown away. The mom who was standing next to the kid looks at me and says, you need to mind your own business. And I didn't experience it, but my thought was, man, I hope he trips over his shoelace. I take pictures, post them on Facebook and every other thing that I could. Why? We're raising our kids to think of me. And it's all about me. And how dare you warn me that I'm going to hurt myself? Because it's all about me. We don't walk in love. When I'm walking in love, I'm concerned about those that I'm walking with and who I'm following. That would help your walk with Jesus Christ more than anything, if you would love the person you're following. That'll help you in your marriage as well, but we're not preaching on that today. He gives us a how-to. The example in this verse is Jesus Christ. And 1 John 4:19 says we love him because he first loved us. So my following and loving Jesus Christ doesn't come from me. And that's where we get that mixed up. You're never going to love Jesus Christ on your own. You're never going to follow him on your own. It has to be because he acted first. He put that action out first. So it's not even an awkward following or an awkward love, because you already know that he loves you. If you're saved, you know he loves you. So why not follow? Because my plan's better. The road that I have is better. The way that I want to go is better. How can your way and your road be better than the God that created everything and he keeps you alive and you're breathing because he's had grace in your life today? How can your road be better than that? Because we aren't walking in love, and we're not loving the person that we're supposed to be following. The example is Jesus Christ. But notice the exhibition. He gives us that action in the how-to. What did he do? He hath given himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Do you realize you stink to God? You are gross to God. You in and of yourself, God wants nothing to do with you. But because Jesus Christ gave himself for you, God's interested now. Without that love of Jesus Christ, God wants nothing to do with you. God's not interested in you. But because of Jesus Christ, he gave himself for us, I should want to walk in love. Hebrews chapter 10, verses 12 through 14 says, but this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down at the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool, for by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. There's no guesswork. There is no work that you have to do. If you're saved this morning, you ought to want to follow God. And the only reason you're not is because your plan and your road and your way is better. And you need to realize this morning, it's not better. Your way leads to heartache. Your way, and the only thing keeping you from walking God's path and walking in love is pride, which you can chase that all the way back to Genesis chapter 3. That's the issue. That's the how to. Then he gives us the how not to in verses 3 and 4. I'm supposed to walk in love. How do I do that? I only do that through Jesus Christ. Here's what happens when I don't do it through Jesus Christ. Verse 3, he says, but fornication. But since we're Baptists, we stop reading right there. And we say, well, I'm good. I don't do that. I'm okay. But then he did write a couple more words. And he said, in all uncleanness, gotcha. Or covetousness, now you're buried. Now you're toast. And then he said this. He said, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. So if I'm following and walking in love in Jesus Christ, I can't be doing that if I'm involved with or if I'm talking about what the world is doing. He said, not be once named. Then notice in verse 4, he said, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not what? Convenient. It's not convenient. Why? You can't walk in your flesh and walk in love and follow God. You can play a game. You can show up and be in church. You can make everybody think that you're walking with God. But you know whether you are or not. But you're the only one who decides that. 1 Corinthians 10:23, Paul said this, all things are lawful for me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but all things edify not. You can do whatever you want to do. We were talking about that on the way over here. That will that God gave you. I've experienced enough ministry-wise as a youth pastor to want God to take my children's will from them. I don't want them to have their own will. I've watched teenagers use their own will. And I've had parents sit in my office and weep and cry over kids' will because they decided what mom and dad believe and what they've been taught is garbage and break a heart. What is that? That's just a will. But God gave you that will. All things are lawful, but they're not expedient. You can't live in the world during the week and then come play God on the weekend. You're not, the only person you're fooling is yourself. And the game only lasts for a little bit. It's not going to last forever. Be sure your sin will find you out. You know the verses. If you've been raised in church, you know them. You think about them. You try to block them out best you can. But they're still there. Why? Because I was raised like you were raised. There's two kinds of children here in this chapter. Verse number one, there's dear children. And then verse 6, there are disobedient children. There are children that are walking with God and walking in love and doing what God wants them to do. And then there are children who are not. You say, but I'm in the middle. There is no middle. There's no gray. God came down to your crayon box and he took the color gray out. And he only left you two colors. What are they? Black and white. He said, but I want the gray. You can't have the gray. God took gray away from you. That color doesn't exist. So don't come and tell your preacher, well, that's just a gray area. It's not a gray area. It's gray because you took the black and the white and you colored with them both at the same time. It's either black or white. It's not gray. Are we having fun? Amen. You guys need to smile more. It'll help me out. You need to follow as do your children. You need to walk in love. There's a way to do it. There's a way not to do it. Let's go to verse number 8. Not only am I supposed to walk in love, but I'm supposed to walk as children of light. If I'm going to follow God, I have to be someone that God is proud of that I'm following him. Is God embarrassed when you say, oh, I'm a Christian? Does God have to go, oh, they said it again? Embarrassing. I don't know if your pastor, our pastor has, and I've been embarrassed by meeting someone And then finding out they knew somebody else, and then all of a sudden they put it together and they said, oh, they go to your church? Yeah, it was just like a light bulb for them. They're just like, huh, look at that. You know what? They never put a connection to church at all with them. God and church, they never put with that person. Why? I know why. They weren't walking as children of light. What are the, there's children of light and there's children of darkness. There's not children of the gray area. There are children of the corn, but that's creepy. We don't talk about that. There's no gray. And we like the gray because what the gray allows me to do is it allows me to play the game that I want to play. But I need to walk as a child of light. If I'm doing so, there are things that happen. Verse number 9. He says, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. There's natural production of fruit. If I'm walking as a child of light, if I'm following God, there is a natural product of that. You don't even have to work at it. You understand that? If you get in your Bible and you read it and you study it, God will put in you the desire to witness. And when you witness long enough, someone will get saved. If you're walking with God, Dad, it will have an effect in your home that you won't even have to try to do. But we don't walk that walk. And therefore, we don't produce the fruit. Go to Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, the Apostle Paul gives us a rundown here of the flesh and the spirit. He says in verse 16, he says, this I say then, walk in the spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. If I want to produce some fruit, I have to walk in the spirit. I cannot walk in my flesh. I cannot do the things and have the relationships throughout the week that I want to have and then think that God's going to bless the ministries I'm involved with on Sunday. We have a very high standard, and we try to. People are sneaky, so they get away with stuff. But we try to be extremely careful on who teaches Sunday school and who's in junior church and who's involved in ministries. Why? Because it's important that those people walk with God of who sings in the choir. Listen, if you got a choir member who is wicked and evil and doing what they want during the week and they're up here singing, they're ruining the effect of what the Spirit of God could do collectively. We talked about the local church this morning and the effect that I have as an individual on the local church if I'm not walking with God. You have an effect. You are not an island. If you're a member of this church, it matters what you do. You need to walk in the Spirit. And then if I'm walking in the Spirit, verse 18, he says, but if ye be led of the Spirit, you're not under the law. If I'm walking in the Spirit, I will be led by that Spirit. I will go to places the Spirit of God wants me to go. People don't just find themselves in a relationship with God. Oh, here I am. No, it is work. It is you walking. It is you stepping and you taking chances and you going places God wants you to go. And the Spirit of God is leading you through the Word of God and through the preaching of the Word of God. Do you ever have a place in your Bible reading where you think God said something, you think God's working, and then you come to church and your pastor just nails it? And you're like, yep, there it is right there. I knew God was saying that. What is that? That's the Spirit of God leading you and leading him, and he brought you two together. I'm led of the Spirit. And then look at verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. If I'm walking, I will be led, and then there will be fruit. The fruit doesn't come before me walking with him. Doesn't happen. I want apples. What do you have to do? You got to plant an orange tree, obviously. That's the only way to get good apples. There's no other way. You can try other ways, but planting the orange tree is, no, that's stupid. What do? You plant an apple tree. Every preacher uses that example, but it's true. Say, I want a relationship with God. Then walk with him. Fellas, the lady sitting next to you that you're married to, did you just avoid her altogether? Show you showed no interest, right? You never talked to her. And she just wouldn't leave you alone. That's how it worked, right? Yeah, she bugged you and bugged you, and finally you said, fine, I just give in, whatever. No, what did you do? You tried, and you tried, some of you tried a lot, more than others. But you put forth effort. You wanted to be where she was. You wanted to talk with her. That is how you, what you have, it is your effort. Listen, God doesn't move. God doesn't move. God is always where he is at, and you and I move. We're all over the place. And then we find ourselves in a place where I just don't know where God went. God didn't go anywhere. God is in the same place he was yesterday. You moved. There was something else that allured you to go over here. And now you're standing over here by the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Eve. How did we get over here? It's Adam. He did it. He told me. That's why it's his fault. No. You wandered there. You found yourself there. That means you walked there. So as easy as you can walk over to whatever distracts you, it's just as easy to walk with God. And I need to walk as a child of light. Go back to Ephesians chapter 5. Look at verse number 10. He says, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. There's the natural production of fruit as a child of light. And then there's the needed proving. He says, I need to prove what is, what's the word? What's the word? Acceptable. Isa, you mean there are things that are not acceptable as a child of God? Bingo! You win the prize. You're going to the Bahamas. There are things that are not acceptable for you as a child of God to do. Say, what if I want to? All things are lawful, but all things are not expedient. Can you? Yes, absolutely. Thumbs up. Go for it. But you have to be willing to pay the piper at the end of the deal. Because you will reap what you sow. But we forget that when we want what we want. And we go where we go and we do what we do. Forgetting that we are a child of light. And we should walk as that. And so then there are things that I have in my life that might not be acceptable to God. Well, it's none of God's business. God sent his son down here to die for you. He shed his blood. God owns you. And your pride and arrogancy is the only thing that's keeping you from walking as a child of light as God would have you to walk. Say, well, God's using me. You're fooling yourself. You know, if you're in church long enough, you can do a lot of stuff to make people think you're walking with God. You just show up in a suit. That guy loves the Lord, I tell you what. He's just walking with the Lord. Sure. Look at, he's got the common man's reference Bible. It's right next to sainthood. That's sarcasm once again. In this needed proving that you and I need to do as a child of light, Romans 12:1, you can go there if you want, but there's the presentation of your body. Paul said you need, let's go ahead and go there, Romans 12:1. Paul said, I beseech you, he's begging, he's pleading. I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your what? Bodies. But what kind of sacrifice? Holy, what's the next word? Which is your what kind of service? It's reasonable. Your life is not your own. You're bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. But my problem is I live in 2013. And I want what I want. And I need what I need. And this is what makes me happy. No, may I say to you that this is what will make you happy. But you know what this will do? This will make you weird. I tell our teenagers all the time, you guys need to accept the fact that you are weird. You can ask Jess. She just graduated this year. Tell them that all the time. You're weird. You're odd. You stick out. It's awkward. But it's for God. So it doesn't matter. That's some of our issue. We don't want to do that. Why? Because we want what's acceptable to me and not to God. Go to 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. Paul telling the young man Timothy here. There's a presentation of your body, and then there's peaceable living, 1 Timothy chapter 2. Verse 1, I exhort therefore that first of all supplications, prayers, intercessions, giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty, for this is good and what? Acceptable in the sight of God our Savior. You ought not to be causing issues. You might not, I'm going out on a limb here, so be careful, and just hold me if I fall, okay? Be ready. You might not like our president. And I know your pastor doesn't speak about such things. But you still need to pray for. Check. Yes, it is. You think maybe your God's big enough to save his soul? But then you have to put that in practice day to day. Do we really believe that? And that's where walking as a child of light proves itself. There's the natural production of fruit back in Ephesians chapter 5. There's the needed proving. And then there's some necessary precautions in verses 11 through 14. He said, have no fellowship with your unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. There needs to be some restraint. Verse 11, he said, have how much fellowship? No, so that means just Saturdays, right? That's the exception right there in my Bible. I said except for Saturdays on there. No means no. You learned that when you were two. You hated it then, and the problem is you still hate it now. No one's telling me no. I'm an old man. Ain't nobody telling me nothing. God just did. He said, don't have any fellowship. Have an argument. Go ahead. I want to watch. I'm going to distance myself from you, but I'll watch. Go ahead, say no. Remember that first argument you had with your dad when you thought you were big stuff? Remember how that worked out? Yeah, it'll work out the same with God. There needs to be some restraint, no fellowship. You can befriend them. You can witness to them. You can talk to them. But there's no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. You don't need to be hanging out with this world. They shouldn't want you to hang out with them. If the world is interested in you hanging out with them, I would do a self-check there. I have not been invited to any parties ever in my life. There's not been any time where, I got passed an invitation, come, we're going to drink all night, it's going to be a great deal. Nope, never happened. Why? Because there's no fellowship. There's no fellowship with that. But we don't like that because, once again, that's weird. If you don't do that stuff now, that's weird. If this isn't your third marriage, that's just weird. So there's some restraint there, and then there needs to be some reproof. He said, but rather reprove them. Let them know that you are a child of God, that you are owned by God, and that your body is not your own. You won't do that. I won't dump that into God's temple. A child of light who is walking as a child of light would say that. But someone that is concerned with self and what self wants will never say that. Then there needs to be the recognition of the difference, verses 12 through 14. He says, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. You should be that light. You in the life of this world should make them awkward. Why? Because you should be the light of Jesus Christ. But know this, in the bad times, they're going to look for the light. And that's why you're supposed to be there. He said, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee what? Light. Light exposes the dark. And the dark doesn't like the light. So if I'm as a child of light and being influenced and pulled into the world, I have to stop and question as a pastor, where's your light? Or have you played a game? your whole life. One of my younger brothers at 23 years old just got saved. Why? No light. And you know who realized it? He did. He got home from the Marine Corps, signed up for 4 years, got home, and he told me, he said, Dave, there was something that was wrong. He said, I'm sitting there and I'm laying there in bed, and he said, there's something wrong. And so he began to do some soul search and began to read his Bible and came to the conclusion, he said, there was never a time in my life where I put my faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He said, I lived off Dad's coattails as a pastor's son my whole life. This was just church and this is what we do. Man, I about jumped through the roof. He realized in his life there was no light. There should have been. He was exposed to the light enough to have it, but there was no light. You need to walk as children of light. And then lastly, you need to walk, and that lastly really means nothing. you need to walk circumspectly. Verse 15. So I need to walk in love. I need to walk as children of light. And then I need to walk circumspectly. Verse 15. See that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise. How do I need, what do I need to walk circumspectly, that's cautious, prudently with my time? In verse 16, he said, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Some of you need to go back and redeem some time that you have wasted living for self and your own ambitions and the things that you wanted. Proverbs 12:16 says, a fool's wrath is presently known, but a prudent man covereth shame. Verse 23 says, a prudent man concealeth knowledge, but the heart of fools proclaimeth foolishness. Chapter 13:16, every prudent man dealeth with knowledge, but a fool layeth open his folly. Chapter 14, verse 8, the wisdom of the prudent is to understand his way, but the folly of fools is deceit. Are you a child of light? Are you walking circumspectly? If you're not walking circumspectly, Proverbs says that you're a fool. And you will eventually expose yourself for what you are. It will come out. We all will see. I need to walk circumspectly with my time, and I need to walk circumspectly with the will of God in verse 17. He said, wherefore be not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. You need to search and try God to find out what God wants for you. It's not going to be written on the wall. God's not going to send you a letter. But that's where that walking with Him every day, God will prove Himself to you. And God will speak to you. And you will know. People ask me all the time, how do you know you're called to preach? Because if I don't, I go insane. If you're called to preach, that's what you think about. That's what you want to do. It bothers you. It bugs you. It doesn't leave you alone. See, how do I know what God wants for me? What is God's will for me? If you ask, He'll show you. If you want it, He'll show you. It's not mystical. It's not mysterious. God's not up in heaven going, ha ha, haven't told Him yet. I'm going to wait another year. It's going to be funny. Guys, watch this. They're going to wander around in just a stupor. I just want to know what the will of God is. And He's up there laughing. No. It doesn't work that way. God wants you to follow Him. Be therefore followers of God as your children. And if you're saying, God, I want to know what way I want that you want me to go, He's going to show you. But too often we get sidetracked with what I want. So walk circumspectly with your time, with the will of God. And then verses 18 through 21, with the worship of God. He said, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. The worship of God includes spiritual songs. You sang spiritual songs this morning. You need to listen to spiritual songs through the week. Your intake of music in your life is going to affect your walk with God, negatively or positively. And I don't have a list for you of disapproved and approved music. Because something I've discovered in my short life as a Baptist, that's what we Baptists want. well, preacher, just if you could just, you know, just lay it out there for me. That way I could kind of check over and see if this is good or bad. If your music draws you closer to God, good stuff. If it doesn't, I think that's self-explanatory. Don't get quiet. Quiet is not good. Quiet is not good. Quiet means I'll back the horse and we'll ram that stump again. Let's back the plow up and we'll just keep going. Spiritual songs. Spiritual songs, they should draw you closer to God. They should make you think about God. And your music has a great impact. If you're intaking the world's music all week long, don't fool yourself into thinking that you're walking with God. That's foolish.
I ain't none of your business.
Tell God that. Just tell him right now. Go ahead. Hurry up. Quick. Got a quick second. I'll pause and let you go. You're not going to tell him that. You're only going to argue with your pastor or your dad or your mom or your friends.
Because you're still judging me.
I don't have to judge. I'll just wait for the fruit of your life to show itself. Because it will. Eventually. But let's not talk about that anymore. That's negativity. We'll talk about that. Verse 20 is a spirit of thanksgiving. When I worship God, there should be some things. He said, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Worship of God is just that spirit of thanksgiving. You can worship God all week long. Just small things. We were thankful. The wedding yesterday, they were on their way. Girls, how many did you have in the car? 7. And a 5-passenger car. And it's in the mountains of Kentucky. And so the church driveway is like way up and then back down and around. And they went up and down. And then they went left over an embankment, went airborne. And I took video of the tire marks going across and then down. And the car stopped right in front of a tree that big. And it didn't hit me until we were driving and leaving. I just thought, oh, wait, hold on a second. Rules of gravity say you shouldn't have stopped. With the weight of the car and everything going down there, and it was a short distance from where the embankment, it was probably from here and the tree is there. There was barely enough room for the car to get over. Sometimes you just thank God in moments when you realize you didn't even realize God was working. That spirit of thanksgiving. Say, how does that happens when I'm walking circumspectly as a child of light in love with Jesus Christ. And I'm focused on my relationship with him. And then verse 21, we'll end on a good note. He says, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. There's submission. And as Baptists, we love the word, but we like it in one context and one context alone. You got it, ladies? That's what we're talking about right there. Right there. But that's not what that's about. He's going to go down that road in a second, but fellas, could I just side note real quick? Good. Glad you are letting me. He doesn't get into the relationship of the husband and wife until he crosses that threshold of you and him submitted together to God. So our marriage is just falling apart. It's my wife's fault. She's not submitting. Okay, in your car, there's an R. And you need right now in your marriage, you need to go up to the R and go backwards a little bit. And you need to find, sir, where you left God at. And then the two of you need to get together and submit together to God. Now, that goes against every bit of Baptist doctrine that I've heard preached my whole life. Because any marriage problems is always the wife's fault. Because she's not in submission. I, as a man, can do whatever I want. She just needs to submit. But the hymn writer said, where he leads me, I will follow. And I'll go with him. How far? All the way. What is that? That submission to following God as a dear child. When I say to my kids, come here, What do I expect? Do I expect, well, they made it to the red chair, good job. I mean, that's just so great. Dad is so proud of you for putting forth half the effort. That's just great. No, that is not acceptable. It's either here or it's nowhere. None of that is good enough. Wherever they're at, to me, all the way to me is what I'm looking for. And that's what God expects out of us. If he's following, he expects us to be, if he's leading, we should be following all the way. Whether you agree with the man or not, Charles Stanley said this: when we take our eyes off the whirlwind of day-to-day activity and concentrate on honoring him and following in his way, we find a constant peace that carries us through both plenty and poverty. You have a God who is big enough to help you through any circumstance in your life that you go through. Our problem is this: we disconnect and we don't walk in love, we don't walk as children of light, and we don't follow. And we find our own path and our own way. And then once that path and that way leads to somewhere where there's trouble, who do we blame? We blame God. Well, where's God? No, see, God was going this way, and you got off the road this way. We did that last night in the dark in Kentucky. I was driving up, GPS said, go this way, road closed. Huh! Now, in Ohio or Indiana, it's flat. I can see for forever. That's awesome. I don't have a problem going left, because I know in a mile, I'll hit another road. I'm guaranteed of it. I don't even question it. It's a little iffy. I took a left and then had to go right. And then the two-lane road went down to a lane. And I swear I heard banjos in the distance. I was scared. Why? Because I got off the road that I was supposed to be on and went this way. Now, I had to do that. There was no choice. But that's what we do. God's going straight, and he's leading. And as dear children in love, we're supposed to follow in complete submission, verse 21. But over there looks pretty great. So I'm going to go over there. That never works out. So as a child of God, the question is this morning, are you following where he is leading, and are you going to follow all the way? Or are you just going to make it to the chair and pretend in and of yourself that, well, I'm still in the church building. Yeah, but that's not where God said to go. God said to go here, and you only came that far. That's not good enough. How is your walk with him this morning? Are you following as you should? Let's bow our heads this morning. Father, we do thank you for your word and it speaking to us. We pray that we would follow you as we should, and that we would be in step with you. And Father, that your way would be appealing to us, and that we would find ourselves, God, wanting to be in submission to the direction and the way, Father, that you would have us go. Pray that you would speak to hearts this morning, do a work that only you can do. We do thank you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. God's spoken to you this morning. We keep our heads bowed, and if you'd like to come, we'll give that time for you to come. Are you walking as God would have you walk? Are you following as God would have you follow? You're the only person that can answer the question. No one else can answer the question. And I know I'm different. I'm not your pastor. That is obvious. But I know this: God is still God, and he still works in hearts and deals in hearts. Don't ignore God when he comes to speak to you. Say, but yeah, but he'll be next Sunday. Maybe he won't. And don't let pride be the thing that keeps you from walking with God. Walk with him. Walk as he would have you walk. Make him proud today that he can call you his child. That's what he wants more than anything else. If God's spoken, you come.
Lord, thank you so much for the words expressed this morning. Thank you for your word. And Lord, I do pray that you'd help us all as we live in this world. Lord, help us not to be of the world. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to walk as children of light, to be faithful to thee until we see you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, we're dismissed. 6